Hail cheaters and welcome to the Always Cheating Fantasy Premier League podcast. My name is Josh. I'm here with Brandon. Brandon, how are you?
I'm doing great, Josh. My team is doing great. I'm coming out of the Christmas season. I'm so glad to also be shutting the door on 2017. So everything's looking good for me.
That's good. Yeah, we sort of, as you rose, I fell, right? The last the last few game weeks in FPL, it's I don't understand why it's such a seesaw with us. Why can't we both do well, Brandon? Why can't we both rise, you know, like the tie can't just go out the whole time, you know? It's going to be one in, one out.
Well, it is Star Wars season, right, Josh? So we do know that the light cannot exist without the dark. There is balance to the force. So I think that's it. We're sort of part of the same unifying theory.
It's true. I guess we've talked about this before, but it's this weird thing about, so Brandon and I, for people who aren't longtime listeners, you know, we've been friends for well over a decade now and, you know, we've been friends for a long time and, our friendship is very uncompetitive in every way except the fantasy game, right? I don't think of you as a competitive friend in general, right?
The story has been told before, but two guys who met by way of dating the same girl. And that, if that doesn't come between us, that is a sign that we are not competitive.
That's true. But somehow in fantasy, our fortunes never align. You and I have never, like, we've had this mini league for years. We've never been one and two in that, like, ever. Yeah. There's always one of us doing well, the other one doing poorly. And it's very Sith and Jedi. I can't explain it.
Well, we're gonna talk about how we're doing and how our game weeks for game week 20 are shaping up. But in thinking about how your poor run of form was going, I was thinking, how am I going to say this to you, Josh? I was thinking about how I could say it without sounding insincere. I really want us both to do well, and I think in the grand scheme of things, we're both sort of running into a pretty decent season. You're still in the top 100K.
Yeah.
You can salvage it. I've moved up since game week 15, I think it is. I've jumped about 700,000 spots, and with one match, Crystal Palace Arsenal still to play, my overall rank is 139K. So yeah,
it's not bad. I'm around 77 or something like that. So not terrible, but just, you know, so this is, I had a couple posts that I sent out yesterday. I was talking to you about this a little bit before the podcast. You've been in Michigan the last few days. I was here in New York and I had my family, my parents came and visited and we all hung out and saw the baby and it was a lot of fun and it was fun. And I was very much, you know, they flew out early Boxing Day morning, right? 7 a.m. So I had the full day to watch matches. And I was really looking forward to it, and I ended up kind of spending the whole day just miserable, right? It was just, I did not have a good day. It did not go well.
Let's see, the first match on Boxing Day was the Harry Kane hat trick, and you opted for Mo Salah.
The very, very last second, I moved from Kane to Salah.
Just okay, so
moment so of, the, you know, so that was part of the frustration. I had Kane, but everyone kind of in our league had Kane captain and I didn't. And so I had to wait around for 5 hours to see if Salah could match Kane's 17 points.
You never want to be fighting from that position of disadvantage. Mo Salah, of anyone, could have done it. It was
right. He had his chances in that game too.
He did. Yeah, he did. All right. So you're watching these games unfold. You're having a bad time of it when it was kind of like your time.
Eden Hazard missed a billion chances. He had a ball cleared off the line that he took so long on, a Lacazette level amount of time, like waiting to make a decision over, and didn't score. And just, he's been so disappointing ever since I brought him in. I kind of upended my team to bring him in, and it sort of ruined my whole team, to be honest. And it's like a third year in a row where bringing in Eden Hazard has coincided with my team just like collapsing, you know, like sinking like a flan in a cupboard, as the expression goes. And so I just felt like, you know, I was just one of those moments where you're like, why is this worth it? You know, like, why am I doing this? Why am I sitting staring at a TV watching people who, like, watching people play a game that I have no, like, ability to control other than just sort of sitting there and watching it happen?
Well,
and
let me get this straight, because this is interesting to me. Are you lamenting the fact of the fantasy game, or are you just like, why am I even a football fan?
It was particularly the fantasy game. It was the level of investment, and so it was just I just had a moment, you know, and so I just had this run of several bad game weeks in a row, and transfers that backfired and injuries. I mean, you know, going into game week 20, I had 6 injured players, right? I had 1 injured player going into that, and then suddenly I had 6. And so it was just I had to burn 8, and that didn't go well at all. I lost a ton of points on that. And it was just like, I felt like I needed to like get away for a couple days. And so the bright, like, so, all right, here's, that's all the complaining. What happened though was, just like a ton of people, like an unbelievable number of people, chimed in over the course of the next like hour or two. And I really, it wasn't even like a plea to like make me feel, it wasn't like I was like, cheer me up, people. It was like, people just sort of did it, right? There was just this outpouring of support and reminder that you can come back from this, and that it's still fun no matter what, and that
there were people in the bar that just walked up to you and offered you a freshly opened bottle of Coca-Cola.
Right. Exactly. No, but it was people who we've been friends with on, you know, people we've had on the podcast, and people like Peter Blake and Ken Rooney and tons of people who wrote really nice things. And it was just, it cheered me up, and it reminded me that, you know, the game itself can be very frustrating, but the kind of like the reason we started the podcast and the reason that we're active on social media and in these networks is because it's fun to be part of the world of it, you know? And I was just, I'm taking the game too seriously, mm-hmm. but I still love the whole kind of world of it, you know? And yeah. so I'm investing too much in each game week, and it's like, I can't see the forest from the trees a little bit, you know? And so, I think that was, I was just a little too, I'm just a little too caught up in each match right now. And
yeah.
And I just needed to like take a step back and remember that it's fun. It's fun to talk about this stuff. The reason we started the podcast is because it's fun to think about these things and to think about transfers and long-term thinking and differential moves. And, you know, like, it's just, all of it is, it's all good. It's all a lot of fun. and it's a huge part of my life. And we met so many, I mean, just thinking about meeting Gavin or meeting, you know, FPL Penguin a couple weeks ago, all these people that are just so nice and smart. Rick Sito, right? These people who are like so nice and cool. And obviously people we talk to like Kat Mortensen and just really nice people all over the place. All of our Patreon supporters, obviously.
Wink, wink.
But it was just, you know, but kidding aside, it was a great, it was just a moment where it really reminded me that like, it's not just about whether Eden Hazard converts a chance, right? It's about yeah. the whole sort of world yeah. of talking about this stuff,
sure.
and thinking about it and, you know, complaining about a bad game week or celebrating we've got a good one. And,
yeah.
So anyway, came through in the end, but I was just, you know, we all have those moments, and I just yeah. needed to, you know, I had to vent, and then everyone kind of helped me come back from the ledge.
If I could do one more quick pivot, I mean, we're being very, very philosophical, but I think it's the end of the calendar year. We're allowed to be a little philosophical right now, but I love what you're saying about we play the game because it is a great entryway into this wonderful community. But I'm also interested in how the game is an entryway into just interacting with the league and the sport and watching the actual games. And right. that's what I really struggle with when I'm having a bad week, is because I, like everyone listening, and just like you, Josh, I like love watching the sport of football. I especially love all the characters and the narrative within the Premier League. And what I hate the most is when the fantasy game gets in the way of me just sitting back and enjoying watching a match or the right. league. And that's what right. we talk always about, the pure watch and the joy of the pure watch when you don't have any fantasy assets involved.
Yeah.
So that
yeah.
I'd be interested to hear from our listeners about how they reconcile. Just are you able to watch a Premier League game in which you say have multiple FPL assets playing? Are you able to still watch the game as the game? Because that's, yeah. how we all ended up playing the fantasy game in the first place. I've been hanging out a lot with my dad over the last 5 days, so I'm taking a very sort of elder tone with this, but
right.
it's an interesting question to ask.
Yeah, and I think this is why, you know, this is whatever our podcast is, there's a little bit of this, right? There's a little bit of the the old guy philosophy. You're going to have to accept it if you're going to listen. You know, it's just there's a little maybe we don't go as hard on strategy as we should sometimes. But part of it is like part of what this podcast, I think, does when it's a good podcast is remind people why the game is fun at all. Right. And it's not just fun when you pick up a late assist, you know, because a player on your team wins a penalty or whatever. Like it's the actual like sort of interacting and enjoying the larger world of soccer, including just watching the matches itself. Yeah. So I have a hard time watching games and enjoying them from a non-fantasy perspective too, but maybe I'll work on that. Maybe that's my New Year's resolution.
All right. So should we recap game week 19 and 20, how our teams did and what transfers we made, how our teams are looking now?
Just why don't we just do it briefly? I mean, I'll just talk about, you know, this game week, as you might've expected. I mean, I'm having a pretty, not a horrible game week from an average point standpoint. I'm on 66 points I'm on 67, with Loftus-Cheek to go. So, if I get a good game from him, maybe I can finish between 70 and 75.
Now, I don't know. I don't know if this is digging into a wound, but I'm interested. I'm genuinely interested in the -8 that you took going into game week 19, in which you ended up with Mosuaku and Halabasa Walker.
Yeah.
And Otamendi.
Yeah, so Otamendi worked out. That was for Colossus. I had what was going to be 9 players playing if I didn't make some transfers, because I had 2 suspensions and 3 injuries and 1 player in Kostnik who just wasn't starting anymore. And basically all of this happened over the course of like 3 days.
Right. It was Tarkowski and
Daniels, Ward. Tarkowski, Daniels, Ward, Kolasinac, Chalaba, who's been like a long-term problem, and one other player who I'm forgetting right now. So
Chalaba is going to be back pretty soon here, so that could actually be your stroke of genius.
So it was ultimately it was 6 players, and I'm forgetting who the 6th one was. But it, you know, the point was there was just, you know, and that was assuming no other rotation, right? I mean, it could have been I could have had 8 players playing.
Yeah.
And so I tried to make a couple of moves that I thought I was trying to bring in attacking defensive wingers, just players who might be able to possibly pick up an assist or could get some bonus points. And I was looking for players who had 2 solid game weeks in a row. So that was how I settled on Masuaku. Masuaku also had the appeal of being a double game week player. And so I knew I would be able to hold on to him and have him for game week 22. Holobos was just a bad decision.
Yeah.
I, you know, how it is. It's like you start talking yourself into these moves. Yeah. And then I had this moment. I actually made that move like right before. I hate these Friday deadlines. I swear forced me into just the worst decisions. They never come at like the right time. I'm just like, I'm out of my like normal train of thinking. And then I had plans to see, so the game started at 3 o'clock. The Arsenal Liverpool game started at 3 o'clock on, US time on Friday, 3 PM. And so I had plans to go see Star Wars, The Last Jedi with my wife and another friend, like 11:45 AM, right? An early showing. So, as I'm sort of sitting there, I suddenly think to myself, you know what? I could play my free hit chip this week. This would actually like work out. And then I was like, but I've already burned 8. Like, and I was like, I couldn't remember if I thought that the points did reset, but I couldn't remember. And so I shot out this tweet and then I was like,
we have a podcast, Josh. Nobody knows, not even us. Nobody knows how this free hit chip works until you play it.
It's not been explained very well. And I think if you have 2 transfers, like you don't even get to keep both them the next. It's like it's very weird.
Yeah.
So then I thought, well, could I do this? And then I was like, God, like, do I trust myself in like the 30 minutes before this movie starts? Not even 30 minutes, it's like 15 minutes to like rejigger my entire team and then like save it all and hit the chip right. And it seemed a little like if I was on a laptop, I might have done it. But just on a phone with 15 minutes to go, I didn't risk it, and I really wish I had, because the hits I took totally blew up. It was just a total disaster. Yeah. In the end, it worked out okay, because, you know, Sterling got me points, and I had Kane. I got the hat trick, and so I think I was actually pretty much neutral on points-wise. But, you know, it's been the sort of – right now I'm at 91,000 overall, so I'm actually a little lower than I thought I was. I need a big game from Loftus-Cheek, I guess, tomorrow. And it looks like I probably will be able to ultimately stick around the top 100K after the last 2 game weeks. So, Yeah, you know, it just – I was listening to this interview with Paul – I don't mean – I don't want to go on too long here about my own team, but I was listening to this interview today with Paul Thomas Anderson, and he was talking about
– Director of the hit film The Phantom Thread?
Among others, yes. yeah, he was talking about how whenever he makes a movie, he always likes to take a week and just walk away from it, right, and just get out of his head and come back. And every time he comes back, you can just see things more clearly. And I wish that I had had the chance to walk away from my team for a couple days and and just think about the moves I was making. And I really think I would have changed things a lot. I would have done things a lot differently. But partially it was just, I had family in town, you know, 4 game weeks in 2 weeks, you know, busy life. And it was just, I don't know. So, you know, I'm not trying to make excuses, but it was just I don't think I did my team justice the last couple weeks. Well, it was a little slapdash.
The BPS for this episode just went up 10 for mentioning Paul Thomas Anderson in an FPL podcast. So that's pretty good. Right. I've kind of been, as we mentioned, on the opposite trajectory. My team has been great the last 3 weeks. And that's due, I guess, to three things. Roberto Firmino in fantastic form.
Yes.
And I've hit my transfer and my captain. I've nailed them the last 2 weeks. I dropped Hazard for Sterling a couple weeks ago, capped him for his goal assist bonus, and then I dropped Monreal going into game week 20 for Alonso, and he comes up with 14 points, which just tremendously good timing there. And I captained Kane, and the captaining of Kane for me came down to just I had Firmino, who was on form, and I felt the captaining of Salah might not really redundant, but I felt like Firmino could help me balance out Salah captains if I could get some attacking involvement from Firmino. So I thought there was more upside for me with Kane. And then, of course, all the talk, which you can poo-poo it if you want, all the talk of Kane trying to break records with his last match in the calendar year. It's one of those things that is Harry Kane probably doesn't care all that much about, but it's one of those things that just tips an FPL manager over the edge.
That's why I should have. I was sort of weighing that versus how disappointing they've been at home in games they should win handily this year, And so it was sort of the weighing the two. But yeah, I agree with that. I also think that maybe we underestimated how much Southampton were just kind of just giving up on the season. This team is in trouble, right? Yeah, I'm not sure they're going to get relegated, but they look without Austin and Van Dijk, it's
troubling. It's troubling. Yeah. And their manager, Pellegrino, he does not cut a very imposing figure on the sideline. You don't look at that guy and say he's got a plan.
No, he's too handsome. He's too stylish. It's like Roberto Firmino, or not Roberto. What's his name? The Belgian manager, former Everton manager.
Oh, Roberto Martinez.
Roberto Martinez, you're like, you spend too long. That suit is too nice.
You're wearing a tie bar, for God's sake.
Yeah, you just need you need like Alex Ferguson. You need a black car coat, very simple.
All right, Josh, so that's where we are with our games right now. Still Crystal Palace, Arsenal to play in Game Week 20. But next, let's just do a quick thank you for everyone who has signed up for our Patreon page, supporting what Josh and I do at Always Cheating. All this comes out of our own pocket. We got hosting fees, website fees, all that jazz. We've got really expensive microphones here, Josh.
It's true.
That's
why we sound so almost good.
So dulcet. But so our December pledge drive is going on for just a few more days. And we've got a lot of good action happening on our Slack channel, which you get access to on our two top tiers at the Patreon page. Also, our second half league just kicked off in Game Week 20. I'm now in eighth place in the second half league. Things start anew in the second half league. Yeah. And it's not too late for people to join. All we do, right, Josh, is you just selected the game week at which point accumulation begins. So even if people join in game week 21 or whatever, you still get access and get to carry your points from game week 20 into that second half league.
So it's basically a new league that started in game week 20. But if you join in game week 22 or 23 or whatever, it just takes you back starting in game week 20. So whatever points you had still count.
Quickly, other perks at the Patreon page. We've got our new buttons that I'm going to start sending out to all of our Patreon showstopper level people in the new year. Cool new buttons. You can check out what they look like. Go to patreon.com/alwayscheating. Also, Josh, when I got home from my Christmas travels, in the mail waiting for me was the new issue of Fantasy Football Magazine. Beautiful print, monthly, comes out. Just go to fantasyfootballmag.com for more information. But if you are a Patreon subscriber at any level of Always Cheating, you get a discount on a subscription to FF Mag. So that's another cool thing. And every month we give away the most current issue to our top point scorer in the last game week of the month.
That's right. So we're skipping the Always Cheating Super League update this week just because we're in the middle of things right now. We still have another game to go. And just with players like Christensen out, I know there's a lot of bench points coming out for people. For most of us, I think it's like 1 point, but there's a few people who have like...
Shout out Shane Duffy.
Yeah, exactly. Or a John Joe Kenny coming in.
Hey, he got 6 points, though. I would love to have a Kenny on my bench right now.
Exactly. So we'll skip the Always Cheating Super League for now. We'll post that, though, after the Arsenal Crystal Palace game takes place. And we have rants. We didn't have any really good rants this week. And so I'm just going to post two what I'm calling anti-rants. I guess they're just brags. The first one is a painful one to read, but I'm going to read it out anyway. Dave Wagner Lodoff, former podcaster, he must know this is a dagger in my heart.
Hey, Dave.
It says, I have a straight brag. I'm currently on 100 points and have to play my first half wild card. And then he says in parentheses, but seriously, that's weird, right?
Now, if you're Dave in this situation, do you just... You just pass up the first half wild card? First of all, you might as well play it.
I mean, you could. It is tricky, though, because, you know, with rotation to play and then a double game week coming in game week 22, it's actually a really bad time to have to play the wild card.
Yeah, it is. Now, hold on. I'm going to pull up D-Wag's team here. So, you know, he's got Alonzo Christensen, Phil Jones, De Gea in goal. Boaz Myhill is his backup keeper. Maybe the wild card is worth just getting a new backup keeper, Dave.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's got some options. So who cares about him? He's on 100 points. He's fine. James Bishop says, I dumped Kane last week and then had my two best games this season so far without him. 92 points, in fact, this week with no Kane. Still, he bangs in 5. I actually think it was 6. And says, how should I feel? This to me is a secret humble brag, right, Brandon? Because, yeah, if you've got 92 points this week without Kane, you should feel fine. Who cares? Who cares what he's doing? It doesn't matter. Bring him in for game week 22.
Now, speaking, James, I don't think it's a humble brag because I think it's a legitimate question. You don't have Kane, and we're heading into, which we're going to talk about in the first meaty section of the pod, what are we doing for the double game week? If I don't have Kane, I'm scared to death going into that double game week.
Two game weeks away, though. He's got plenty of time. I mean, absolute worst case scenario, he's got to burn 4, right? That's it. He's got 2 transfers. Yeah. He's got 2 frees coming up, and you can certainly anyone could bring in Kane with 3 moves, right?
Yeah. I guess he doesn't have to worry about benching a near 13 million player for game week 21. So that is an upshot.
All you have to do is, let's say he's got Lukaku, you know, he could make a move this week. You could hold the transfer, you know, and then just move someone like Hazard to, I don't know, some 8 million player, right? Like maybe Son, you know? Yeah, there's lots of ways to do it. We're actually going to, so in just a second here, this is actually a perfect segue, Brandon. Let's take a quick break and then we get back. We're going to talk, it's a 2-part podcast this week. First part is all about the double game week. Which is coming up in game week 22, and that'll take place before we can record our next podcast. And then we're also going to just take a lot of general questions about the Lingards and Coutinhos and Hazards of the world. So let's take a quick break, and we'll get right back.
Same old podcast, always cheating.
All right, Brandon, we're back. We've been skating around the double game week the last couple of podcasts. It's time we finally talked about it a little bit. It's one of those tricky ones where you've got a skipped week that leads into the double game week. That is to say, it's like often with double game weeks, it's like the week skips, like, you know, I don't know. It's like 4 weeks down the road, you know.
Yeah, or prior to,
exactly. So right now it's a straight up skip game week followed by the double game week.
Yeah.
So it's a tricky one. It's hard to have enough players. To really take full advantage of it without burning a lot of points. Mm-hmm. You know, most of us have Kane. In many cases, that's the only player a lot of us have right now on these two teams.
Yeah.
So just a quick recap. These game weeks, I think one match is on January 1st and one is on January 4th. And Spurs play Swansea away and West Ham at home. I think that West Ham game is on like a Wednesday or a Thursday. West Ham play West Brom at home, followed by Swansea away. So you only have one player, right, from both teams?
Just Kane. I mean, to be clear, both Spurs and West Ham have their first game on Tuesday and their second game on Thursday. So there is just Wednesday off.
Quick turnaround. Okay, yeah. So before we get into the questions that we have about the double game weeks, what is your current thinking? Like, how many players do you think you'll have? What players are you looking at? What's your, are you going to save a transfer this week? You know, what's your thought?
Yeah, just have Harry Kane. No other Spurs players, no West Ham players. My thoughts are mostly with Spurs, as I think many people are, and thinking about Eriksen or Dele Alli. Dele Alli miraculously looked pretty good against Southampton, maybe for the first time in the league so far this season. Whereas Eriksen is really, really fading away from FPL managers' minds right now. So, and defense, very shaky without Toby. So I'm more mindful of Spurs attacking assets. So if I were to double up on Spurs, it would be the Kane who I already have and then a Spurs midfielder.
So West Ham. If you were to double up on Spurs, it's not a sure thing that you're not going to have more than one player in this double game week.
Yeah, as it is now, I would be fine just rolling into this double with Kane captained. Now we'll talk a little bit more about Kane captaincy in the double game week with some of the community questions. But I'd frankly be fine with that. West Ham, they've looked better under Moyes. Yes, I can agree with that. A little more defensively sound, but they're still leaking goals. Nothing is guaranteed. I think, again, I am more tempted with attacking returns with West Ham. So if I'm looking at anyone, it's Lanzini or Arnautovic. So that's where I currently am. What about you?
Yeah, I am. I'm still a little on the fence between Alli and Eriksen. I guess I lean a little more towards Alli because he's 9 versus Eriksen's 9.3. He's also a little more in form. I thought that Eriksen was just far and away doing better than Alli this season, but Alli's late charge is actually only a 15-point difference between the two of them in the season. He's on 4 goals and 8 assists. Eriksen's on 5 goals and 6 assists.
So, his form, Eriksen's form has just fell off a cliff since that last international break.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it was just...
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I don't know if it's just this huge emotional sort of shift for him, knowing that Denmark qualified, and I don't know if that plays into it at all.
I don't know how much his Danish patriotism plays into it either.
I'm basically my day job has suffered greatly since Denmark qualified for the World Cup.
Mine is too. I'm glad that I'm able to blame it on that. I didn't have a good excuse until just now.
My boss was like, "You're really shaken up about the U.S. not qualifying, right?" I'm like, "Actually, the opposite, my friend. I'm shaken up by the euphoria I feel for Denmark."
So it is arguably Son is the most informed player of the three, the kind of the big three midfielders, right? Mm-hmm. Eriksen, Alli, and Son. I still lean towards Alli because I think he's a little more of a lock, right? Just a little more likely to play all 90 minutes in a match.
Yeah. And the fact that Pochettino has stuck with him through his, really awful patch earlier in the season shows the confidence that his manager has.
He's been rested more than almost any other player just because of so many suspensions. He's been rested, let's see, twice already in the season. And then I think he missed 3 Champions League matches, right? And, Eriksen has started every single game so far this season. So
Eriksen don't miss matches, boy.
He just really doesn't. And I wouldn't expect Kane to miss matches either, partially because they're not playing in game week 21, right? So they all have a little time off. And so even with 2 games in 3 days, I do think that they play both matches. So I'm thinking about 3 Spurs, actually. I'm thinking about going out. I kind of feel like I need to, though. I need to right the ship a little bit on my team. I've got some defensive problems anyway.
Yeah.
I have this Eden Hazard issue, right? I mean, I think for you, the trickier thing is you'd have to get rid of some player that you want to keep.
Yeah, with Salah, De Bruyne, and Sterling. Sterling and Salah, absolutely undroppable. I don't think anyone's going to argue that. De Bruyne, everyone knows, he's like my cherished FPL baby boy this season.
Right.
And it would suck to drop De Bruyne now after this whole season, like sticking by him and accumulating some value and had to buy him back at 10.3.
Right. Yeah. And I mean, what is the fixture that they have in game week 22? It's they're home to Watford, too. So that is to say Man City are. So,
yeah.
Yeah, it's a tricky one.
I think my option there would be to turn around and downgrade a defender like Alonso to turn Richarlison into a Spurs mid.
I guess that would make sense too. Or just bring in one defender, right? One Spurs defender.
Yep.
And leave the midfield intact. So I'm leaning towards Ali or Eriksen, probably Ali, just because I think he's a little more explosive. But I think either one, I honestly, it's kind of like last year. I think with those two, it's take your pick, right? They're both excellent options.
Yep.
I could understand going with both of them. We've got going with Son and Ali, if you can afford them. So let's get into the questions a little bit. I think for defenders, I mean, the only thing I'll say there is I think you'd want to look at a center back and you wouldn't want to look at one of the fullbacks because, Pochettino rotates his fullbacks a lot, and he can't really do that with the center backs. It's annoying that Vertonghen is so expensive.
Yeah,
for a player who's not going to give you any, he doesn't really get bonus points, and he doesn't get goals or assists.
Yeah,
so you're pretty much just going for that 6-point clean sheet bonus.
Yeah,
but you know that still might be worthwhile. So I'm definitely looking at him. I don't know if I'd burn four to bring in Vertonghen. I guess I might. I mean, you know, it is Swansea and West Ham are two really strong back-to-back fixtures for Spurs. So let's get into the questions, Brandon. Juicy Carlos says, back-to-back Hatties for Kane and a double game week coming up against West Ham and Swansea. Triple captain was always on the table for this week, but with this form, is triple captaining Kane a must now? Your thoughts?
Definitely not a must, but I couldn't argue with anyone who said, I'm going to do it. I'm going to triple captain Kane because, you wait for the perfect storm of form and fixtures and a double game week. So here it is. I tried this with Aguero. A lot of us tried this with Aguero early on last season. And that's not proof that it won't work for Harry Kane in this double game week, but it didn't work out with Aguero last season. And I think what I would say based on that was it really stung going into the latter half of the season, knowing that I'd already blown my triple captainship. So it's almost, I can't even put this out as advice. Like, well, for your own peace of mind, you shouldn't do it for your own mental well-being. That's silly. I think if you want to do it, It's a great idea. It looks really good.
When we talked about, I think on the last podcast, we both were leaning against doing it. That was before he scored 6 goals in 3 days or 4 days, whatever it was. Yeah,
which is a major factor. So I think we reserve the right to change our minds in light of that.
I would say I'm like 25% will I'm going to do it. 75% I won't do it. Right. Mm-hmm. So I think the one out of four times I'm going to triple captain Kane in the multiverse, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, we'll see. I think I'm not going to do it because I like having the option later on to there should be a chance to triple captain even someone like Kane down the road. And it could be that a triple captain is such a valuable chip that there is a lot of strategic value in being able to hold it and then decide later on if you need to triple captain someone who's maybe more of a differential option, right? Someone who, like, let's say you have, like, you've got to make up 60 points in the final 3 weeks of the season. Having the triple captain chip is super valuable, right? Of course, you could argue if you play the triple captain now, maybe you don't have a 60-point gap later on because you picked up so many points in that captaincy.
I like that point, though, that you're making is Kane right now is the only triple captain option in this game week. If people are going to play their triple cap in game week 22, they're playing it on Kane. Say you don't play the triple cap, everyone's still going to captain him. You're not losing a lot of ground to the triple captainers because we're all going to have the armband on Kane. Versus the double game week that will happen later on in the season where, as you're saying, Josh, there are other options. People are maybe going to spread the triple captain around and you have a better opportunity to cover a greater distance. So perhaps that is a better strategy.
Harbuzi, this question from the Slack says, what do you think of a free hit for the double game week, free hit chip, that is? You would have maybe three from Spurs, West Ham, Man City, and then two others as the base. And he says, what are the pros and cons of doing this? Now, when I first saw this, I kind of thought, I don't know if that's really the best move because I don't know that I'd want to have three West Ham players. But bearing in mind that City have this home fixture to Watford, if you were really undercovered, like if you didn't have Kane at all in your squad right now, I think there's a really strong argument for the free hit chip for this game week, right? You could have, honestly, you could have Kane, Ali, and Eriksen, or Kane, Eriksen, and Son. You could have, I don't know, maybe Masuaku, and it helps that West Ham fixture at home to West Brom is such a good fixture, right? Because there's a very good chance of a clean sheet in that game. And then maybe Masuaku gets an assist or something in their away game at Wembley. And then maybe you bring in someone like Lanzini and maybe Arnautovic, right? Arnautovic is in really good form right now. He's not a player that I think either of us really like that much, but you can't argue with his form.
Sure.
So, you know, someone like Arnautovic, I don't know. I mean, I think like, you know, Richarlison to Arnautovic is a pretty easy move for the double game week. So what do you think about the free hit chip?
I don't like it for this reason. The way you pose it is interesting to me in that, yeah, I have two Man City midfielders that I don't want to move long term. So maybe the free hit is a great way for me to bolster up with Spurs and West Ham. But the reason I don't like it is I think the free hit chip is there for you to get in players that you don't want long term.
Right.
I think it's most valuable that way. If I'm looking at I kind of feel like I don't want West Ham players, but that said, West Ham's fixtures after the double, Huddersfield, Bournemouth, Palace, Brighton, those are really decent fixtures. So I feel like if you do some team surgery ahead of the double to get West Ham players in, also Spurs players who have in the double Swansea, West Ham, then Everton and Southampton, these are all great fixtures to keep the players that you're bringing in for the double. You don't need to get rid of them right away. So I think it's worth holding on to the free hit chip, knowing that if you're playing the double really hard, those assets could still bear fruit for you in game weeks 23, 24, 25, especially with West Ham.
Yeah, it's actually true for both teams, right? Because Spurs have Everton and Southampton, the two fixtures to follow. They do play Man United and Liverpool in the two fixtures after that. The Man United game is home, though, so that's less of a concern, especially with Man United's real loss of defensive form. It's really, I guess it's just Valencia, right? I mean, without Valencia, it just forces that team to be rejiggered in the way that just Marcus Rojo has to play, basically. And if Rojo plays, bad things happen for Man United's defense.
And more terrible injuries, Chris Smalling out with a groin injury. They're just kind of a shadow of the clean sheet machine that they were a month ago.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, moving Azpilicueta to Christensen so that I could bring in De Gea has not exactly moved out according to plan. That was that is a transfer that has officially backfired. So let's move on to the next question. Jeremiah Johnson says 2 to 3, and actually we've sort of answered this already, but he says 2 to 3 Spurs West Ham assets is all people should be aiming for. More than that is way too much to recover for just one game week, right? Or do these clubs have the form and fixtures justify more? I think we've already answered that. I actually think they do have the form and fixtures. I think More than four seems like a lot. There's really only, I mean, I don't know. I guess you could argue, I don't really want three Spurs, to be honest. I don't really trust their defense that much, right? Yeah. I mean, having them for the double game week is okay, but long term, I don't really want their defense. And then West Ham, they're just not that good. You know, and their defense had a nice little run there. And Masuaku, I think, is a really interesting option at 4.4 million. I brought him in, and I haven't seen the benefits of that yet, but I still think long term I could.
Yeah.
I actually think on the bonus point system, he was actually just off picking up a bonus point, even though they conceded three goals in that match. So he's really really attacking.
Yeah.
And then after this game, you know, they play Huddersfield, Bournemouth, Crystal Palace, Brighton. I mean, those are four chances for clean sheets in the weeks to follow. So, you know, if I were looking at a long term investment in a West Ham player, I think that a defender would be the way to go.
Yeah, I think I'm coming around on this defensive argument to bring in a West Ham defender as opposed to attacking players. Ooh.
They're so cheap.
A little bit.
Ogbonna is probably the safer choice, right? Because he's probably a little more. You can be pretty sure that he's going to start both those game weeks.
Yeah.
And Masuaku, I think he'll start too, but he's maybe a little less likely.
Yeah.
Final question. Ross Lagerwood says, thoughts on prioritizing all transfers now on the double game week versus just playing for this game week and taking hits, ignoring the double game week. He has two double game week players with a plan to have five using three free transfers at present. I don't understand this question because he has two transfers to play still. So
yeah, I think ultimately the question from Ross here is it worth burning points to play this double game week hard? And I feel I'm really waffling here, and I'm just not convinced that it's worth it to go really hard on this double game week.
Wow, I do disagree with you then, because
yeah.
I think it is worth it. I think a double game week is just such a – it can just bear such fruit, you know, if things pan out.
It can.
Yeah, and especially with – I mean, Swansea and West Ham, right? Those are great. Spurs in particular, I think you've got to have at least two Spurs.
Yeah.
Maybe not even two attackers, but, you know, at least one of their defenders. I think you'd want.
I'm just the guy in the Millennium Falcon right now, for another Star Wars reference, who's saying, I've got a bad feeling about this. So just got a bad feeling about this double.
All right, let's take a quick break, and we'll come back with part two of the podcast. Same old podcast, always cheating. All right, Brandon, before we get into part two of the podcast, I have to tell you, I did not have a great game week 20. It's actually still going on. And, you know, maybe I get a Ruben Loftus-Cheek hat trick tomorrow. You know, it's anything's possible. I did a lot better on Boxing Day with my starting 11 lineup, because in that one I actually was conservative and smart and captain Harry Kane. And so I took on a bunch of different people, and including our friend Emil, who's AM Saturday. And I picked up a bunch of wins. I racked up some wins on starting 11, Brandon, which is a daily fantasy app. So if you need a break from the FPL game, and or you just need a little one day – maybe a little one day gambling binge, right? Maybe you're like at a bachelor party, you know, coming up in the next couple of months, and you know, there's gonna be six of you all together, and maybe they don't even know what FPL is, but they all like sports, right?
Yeah.
Get them all to log into the app. All of you guys, you know, pick your starting lineup, and then you just go from there, right? It's a single day fantasy. It's part of the fun of it is it's not a 38 week season. It's just a one day matchup. So. Brandon, tell me more.
Josh,
tell me more. Like, I don't know what this is.
This is the episode sponsored by the Star Wars The Last Jedi. I was rewatching this movie, and when they go to the casino planet, Canto Bite, I kept looking for the Starting 11 table, which people were downloading the Starting 11 app and gambling and having fun with their friends. It is that sort of app where it's sort of like chop and change. You're making substitutions real time as the games unfold, and there is no budget, so it sort of sky's the limit in terms of the team you put together. So
yes.
It's just fun, and it is exactly as you say. It is a great antidote to what ails you during a very bad FPL game week. So can't encourage you enough. Go to starting11.io, starting11.io. There are links there to download the app for your iPhone or your Android phone. You can challenge us, challenge the cheaters. Me and Josh are taking on all comers. Just hit us up with a direct message on Twitter, Facebook. Send us an email at hailcheaters@gmail.com. And we'd love to play you on Starting 11 today.
That's right. And I'm around this weekend, and I'm around on New Year's Day as well. So if you want to challenge Josh, and Brandon, you're around too.
I'm around enough. I've got nothing anyway. Going on. Yeah, come on. Even exactly. When I'm on the move, I can play Starting 11. Josh, it's on a mobile device. You can play
it's all
on
mobile. That's true. That wasn't even a lead in, but that actually is perfect. It's all on mobile. So go to your iOS or Android, download the app, or visit starting11.io. There's videos there and all the rules and everything else you might need to do or might need to learn to figure out how to make the most of it. So check it out. And if you want to learn even more about it, you can go back and listen to a podcast that we did with co-founder Thomas Braun. You can find that on our SoundCloud page. It's also on our website. So check it out. And we'll hopefully see you this weekend.
Sweet. Part two of the podcast, Joshua. It is the lightning round. We've got lots of questions from around the FPL community, including our exclusive Patreon supporter only Slack channel. You know who you are. If you want to support us, go to patreon.com/IWasCheating. First question for our lightning round. You know the rules, Josh, right? 30 seconds or less will give you the 100% correct answer to your question.
That's right. Let's do this. Stig Hagen, are you guys still not willing to consider Lingard in midfield? If money is a bit short, the savings on Richarlison to Lingard is a money saving situation. #wildcardFC. Are we against Lingard in midfield? I don't remember ever saying anything about that.
Oh, come on. Who has ever talked about Jesse Lingard in the past couple of years and not had this intonation of he sucks?
he's young. He's not a consistent starter. He had two great goals. Right. He was the star of Boxing Day.
Fantastic.
Maybe after Harry Kane.
Yeah. Perhaps he was an inconsistent starter, Josh, but he started six matches in a row before the Burnley match. Then he comes on as a second half substitution, scores those two goals. The guy's on attacking returns of three of the last three games, and he looks to be one of their best attacking players. He's a steal at 6.1. I feel like if we have said Lingard sucks like everyone else on planet Earth has said in the past,
sounds like something you said.
I'm sure.
I'm pro Lingard. I'm on the Lingard fan club. I get newsletters and stuff. I'm all in.
Yeah, you have the like cardboard cutout Lingard face with the like dotted eyes.
I've got the fat head. I've got the like the wall mounted. Auntie Grenlin says, "Is it stupid to get Coutinho now when their next three games are Leicester, Burnley, and Man City?" No. The Leicester game, I mean, Leicester ship goals, right? Everyone could score in Leicester. Burnley are like a shell of their former self right now because they just don't have like any real defenders anymore.
The boats are rocking at Burnley.
They got an injured Ben Mee. I mean, Tarkowski has been the heart of that defense, and you saw right away, right? I mean, as soon as he was out, things really started to fall apart for them. Man City are certainly, I mean, I would, in Man City, Liverpool, I would expect goals to be conceded there for Man City.
Next question comes from Jason, Hector, Caspian, Yago. It's a question about Hazard. This is for you, Josh. Even if he delivers at Stoke, is it time to recognize Hazard isn't delivering value for money? And should he make way, even if history tells us what we should keep the faith? That we should keep the faith. Are you going to keep the faith with Hazard, Josh?
Yeah, I am much like I keep a copy of the Keeping the Faith DVD on my shelf, starring Jenna Elfman, Ben Stiller, Edward Norton, and Philip Seymour Hoffman. Man, fun cameo role.
Remember when perhaps Jenna Elfman movie? Was going to be like, well, I guess she did have her moment. Yeah.
She was the most famous person in the world, Brandon, for for 3 minutes once.
I'm trying to think of the Jenna Elfman of FPL assets, like a player that everyone had for just a fleeting moment, like Joe Allen. Jenna Elfman is the right. Joe Allen of FPL players.
Yeah, that's well done. I can't top that. I'm not even going to try. You keep him for Stoke and then you drop him for a Spurs player for game week 22. I think that's pretty much the going answer. And I would do that even if he exploded, right? Let's say that he has an amazing game at home to Stoke, which is possible because Stoke doesn't have a defense. And let's say he scores 3 goals with 2 assists, right? He has like a 25-point return. Even then, I would drop him for the double game week because he's just so inconsistent. It's not that he isn't we're talking about inconsistent in a fantasy game. He has been fantastic as a player. I've watched the last 2 games. He's amazing. He's running the game for Chelsea. I mean, it's just that what he does doesn't require him to score an assist necessarily, you know? Yeah. And so that's what's frustrating about him is he sort of gets goals and assists by accident, right? Like, just because he's doing so many things that he ends up, you know, sort of unmarked on a, you know, a counterattack or, sure. You know, the ball falls to him in the right spot, you know, on a charge or whatever, yeah. You know? So, you know, he just doesn't like for 11 million, you know, pounds, you need him to be better than he is, you know, like if you're just not getting the value.
If you're a Hazard owner, you're just looking to end on a high note. You wait for the haul. And as soon as that haul comes, bail out.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Michael Heinberg says, what's going on with this Man U team? Should I still believe they're the best defense to own? Is Phil Jones worth keeping?
It's troubling, this Man U defense. De Gea, yeah, as you were saying earlier, it's I don't think you should dump assets. If Phil Jones, David De Gea, hold on. It's still a Mourinho team. They are still in second place. They have so much to play for. I mean, they're not playing for the league. Yep. Maybe what they're playing for is the Champions League. But still, Mourinho will not sacrifice the defensive style. So I'd say keep the faith with the Man U defense.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the 2 goals that Burnley scored, you know, one was a free kick goal. Not a lot you can do about that. One was, you know, Marcus Rojo happened, basically. Mm-hmm. Completely pointless. I mean, there was no reason for him to commit a foul there. Yeah, I think it's they're going to get healthier. I mean, I don't know. I don't think Smalling's out that long. So if he's back by this weekend, then they're probably already a lot better. They need Valencia back, too. The defense is getting a little old in general. I'm actually surprised they didn't make a move for Van Dijk. So, yeah, we're actually going to talk about him in just a second. Jonathan Peterson says, what are your thoughts on maybe putting the armband on Alonso next game week against Stoke? What do you think about that,
Ben? I was looking at the captaincy options for game week 21, and, you know, Alonso is not bad. I might be too conservative for a defensive captain because, I mean, we've seen it happen, like Chelsea versus Newcastle. You can lose that clean sheet on the flukiest goal, and it's something you can't sort of legislate for. And I would hate to put the armband on Alonso. You know, he's not guaranteed attacking returns all the time, but what you are counting on is the clean sheet, which, as I said, it's not guaranteed. So it does concern me a little bit. I'd be more willing to put the armband on Morata because the likelihood of Morata getting attacking in returns, I mean, you don't need me to explain to you what the difference is between a striker and a defender.
You bet I don't. Kevin Cherubin says, is there value in Van Dijk now at Liverpool?
It's a really interesting question. What does Liverpool's defense look like with Van Dijk in there? I mean, this has been the talking point for how many seasons now? 3-4 seasons? Mm-hmm. Liverpool mm-hmm. can't defend. Mm-hmm. And I like it. I think he's definitely something they've been lacking, a solid central defender. I mean, let's take me back all the way to the days of Martin Skrtel. Skrtel could score in a corner kick. Could he defend? I don't really recall. What do you need to go back to all the way to Jamie Carragher when they had a really strong central defense?
Yeah, maybe. Who was the other defender who was paired with Skrtel for a long time? Daniel Agger? He was pretty good.
Yeah.
It's Klopp style, you know, does not lend itself to a ton of clean sheets. I mean, it's interesting because this isn't as an advertisement for it, but there was a lot of talk in the Slack about this today. And, you know, basically, you know, the disadvantage of the Klopp style is that there's a lot of holes that it requires the center back to do a lot, right, in order to make up for the gaps because, you know, the team is so attacking. But, you know, the other side of that, too, is that they have the ball a lot, right? So it's not like they're sitting back and taking tons of shots. It's just the one or two times a game when the other team has a chance to win the ball back and come down and score. So maybe if you have a more athletic, rangier player in Van Dijk, he really allows you to, you know, sort of like cancel out those mistakes, you know, that they've been like conceding goals on the last, you know, the last two seasons.
I he is a great player. I mean, he looked like one of the best center backs in the league for, you know, when he came to Southampton. I don't buy the argument that, you know, he's out of form. He hasn't looked good this season. He's been waiting for this move since like the end of last season. He's basically been doing just enough to not, you know, get sent to Turkey. And I think he will be great at Liverpool, and Liverpool's defense, that said, has actually looked stronger, you know, Mignolet aside, in the recent weeks. So I like it. 5.4, that's a pretty cheap buy-in for a great player who could get a few headed goals in the second half of the season.
I guess I still don't really trust him. I would want to see Van Dijk in a Liverpool kit for a couple weeks before I really seriously thought about bringing him in.
Yeah. Last question, Josh, comes from our Slack channel. Good friend of the pod, Jeff Petter, asks, looking beyond the new year, there have been so many fixtures over the Christmas period, and everyone is focused on the double in Game Week 22, but what lies beyond that? Are there teams, players we should be planning for, particularly for the next 4 to 6 game weeks? So Jeff wants us to look ahead. First thing I wanted to check looking at this question from Jeff was, when does Champions League start up again? And the knockout round of the Champions League starts up in mid-February. February 13th is when the first games are, which still feels to me
a ways off.
A ways off in the decisions that we need to make, particularly that 4 to 6 range that Jeff is asking about. So for you, Josh, what are you looking at beyond the Spurs-West Ham double?
Well, there are a couple teams that that we haven't talked about very much that do have really good fixtures in the future. You know, one is Arsenal. So they play Chelsea in game week 22, but surrounding that they have a game against West Brom, Bournemouth, Crystal Palace, Swansea, and Everton. So good fixtures for clean sheets, good fixtures for attacking players. Now, what attacking players do you want on Arsenal? Until Ramsey comes back, it's a tricky one. I mean, you know, could you really justify having Ozil over someone like Coutinho or a Spurs midfielder? I don't think you can. Maybe you look at a defender, but even then, what defender do you want right now? I mean, Maitland-Niles, right, who would be such a fun player to bring in, is classified as a midfielder. And so he's really not an option.
Thanks, FPL.
Yeah. Another team that stands out is Newcastle, and we've not talked about Newcastle much at all. Actually, they played pretty – I know you were flying home today, but they played pretty well, I have to say. I mean, they didn't have possession at all in the match, but it's amazing that they – I didn't think they had the defensive chops to hold tough as well as they did.
Yeah.
And they actually, in the second half, actually looked pretty solid. They play Brighton, Stoke, Swansea, Burnley, and Crystal Palace in 5 of the next 6. The only tricky fixture is an away game at Man United in Game Week 24. But I think that's fine because you're not going to double or triple up in them anyway. But I think a Newcastle defender or Christian Atsu, who was effectively rested in the Man City game, he only played like 18 minutes. I think Atsu is a really interesting option. He's only 4.8 million now. Obviously had a huge game away to West Ham a few days ago. And I think LaSalle's at 4.6 is an interesting option too.
Yeah, Newcastle, it seems so long ago that we were all talking about Matt Ritchie and Atsu early in the season. And see, did Atsu drop? He was such a bandwagon earlier in the season. I imagine that 4.8 price tag is a pretty big drop from where he started at.
Yeah, I think he was at 5 to start.
Yeah, 5.0 got all as high as 5.1. So perhaps not the most bandwagon player.
only in the world of FPL, you know, Facebook and Twitter and Reddit did he go that high.
All right, so I just want to heat check on Leicester real quick. Now that we're talking about looking toward the future, so Leicester was a team that we were all sort of piling on. Mahrez looked like the bee's knees, and then they've just suddenly fallen out of favor. Do you spare a thought for Leicester coming into January?
I mean, I don't know. I don't know what. I guess Mahrez is interesting, Vardy, I don't love. I would love Vardy if he was like 7 million, but I don't love him at 8.5 or 8.7 or whatever he is. The defense is awful.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're up to eighth place, you know? So, I mean, they're kind of like a mix. I mean, you know, they've won two, lost two, and drawn one in their last five, you know? So it's very much a, you know, a true mixed bag. They're a real mid-table, like a classic mid-table team right now.
Yeah.
I think just one last team is actually Chelsea, who, you know, have been a little out of form, but I don't know if they've been out of form. They've just been kind of, from a fantasy perspective, they've been kind of frustrating with, you know, with Christensen out and Hazard not delivering. But they play Stoke in game week 21. It's good fixtures you could hope for. Arsenal away, they probably will win that game. And then it's Leicester, Brighton, Bournemouth, and Watford in the next four. And all four of those teams concede tons of goals. So interesting. I don't know. Yeah,
I don't know.
I don't know. I'm raising my shoulders, Brandon, and shaking them like huh? I don't know.
I don't know. Huh? I guess that's a great note to end the lightning round on, a simple, always cheating shrug of the shoulders.
All right, that's what you come here for.
Let's do a quick preview of game week 21 and 22. My God, how many days are between 21 and 21? Game week 21 starts on the December 30th, and then January 1st, 2 days later, it's game week 22. So
let's not even really, because, yeah, I mean, game week 21 actually ends on the 31st, and game week 22 starts on the 1st. So there's actually no gap between the two.
Right, right. All right, quick shout-outs for captain choices in 21 and 22.
Any Chelsea player... I think Man City, I think you could look at, Raheem Sterling again, on that Sunday fixture. I think that, Liverpool, if I had Coutinho, I'd look at him. I mean, Salah, I mean, the thing about Salah, I mean, you know, it's like, how many times can you not captain Salah? Cause you're worried about him getting rotated, you know, like that was kind of one of the reasons why I captained him in game week 20 was just like, come on, like it, you know. Maybe I'm going to get hurt sometime, but otherwise he's delivering every time. I mean, you know, if it wasn't for, you know, Kane, then I would have been pretty fine with a 9-point return from Salah, you know? So,
yeah.
So I think he's a decent option too.
Need I remind you about the last time that Chelsea played Stoke? It was a 4-0, just destruction of Stoke City. Morata scored a hat trick. Right. Azpilicueta had a dynamite game. So if this season record says anything, I think Chelsea attack is the place to look. Now, if you only have a Chelsea defender, you know, I'm a little hesitant there, but I think Chelsea attack is my favorite captaincy here in 21.
Yeah. And then game week 22, obviously you'd be looking at the double game week players. I think, you know, Harry Kane is really the only option.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, it's done. It's done and dusted. If you don't have Harry Kane, get him in. For 22, otherwise you're going to be behind the couch for 2 days. For 4 days. First through the fourth.
It's a long 4 days. All right, Brandon. Well, that's the podcast.
Cool.
We're back. We're shaking the rust off a little bit, but I think we'll be even tighter next week. You know, we had a little 9-day break though. That was good. Recharged the batteries.
Much needed. All right, so subscribe to the podcast, iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, wherever you get your podcasts. Follow us on Twitter at Hail Cheaters, Facebook.com/AlwaysCheating. Send us an email if you need lengthier replies. If you have real tough issues you need to sort through, just send us an email at HailCheaters@gmail.com. And if you like what you hear, rate and review us on your podcast platform of choice. We really appreciate it.
That's right. And if you want to support the podcast, visit patreon.com/alwayscheating. Or just if you want to learn more about the podcast itself or who we are or anything else, go to alwayscheating.com.
I'll see you there at alwayscheating.com, where I am all the time.
I'll see you there too, Brandon. All right. Talk to you later.
Bye.